All right, let's do a show here. It's time to stop S-ing around.
Huh?
Exactly.
This isn't your class anymore, Cameron. I'm not
to teach Patrick karate.
Yeah.
Living in a gangster's paradise.
Hello and welcome to What's the Deal, the Seinfeld review show that hits your car and doesn't leave a note. Each week we dissect every episode of Seinfeld in chronological order. With me today, as always, are Patrick Armstrong.
Mm-hmm.
And Chris Young.
Hi.
I'm Cameron Wong, and this is episode 36, and today we will be looking at season 3, episode 20, The Good Samaritan. Or Samaritan, as Patrick would say.
I would.
Patrick, how are you today?
I'm good. I ate an oyakodon for dinner. I'm feeling good.
You're feeling frisky. You have an oyakodon.
Yeah. Like a mother with its child.
I get it. It's a reference to the
name
meal.
Of the food, yeah.
Chicken and an egg. It's perverse.
Yeah. Also delicious.
You finish the whole circle of life in one meal. Mm-hmm. You also eat the rice grains that they would have survived on.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm good. Feeling good.
Great. Chris?
I'm pretty good. I gotta say, I'm still not thrilled about this haircut.
No, I'm not sure that you should be.
I've been trying to make it work. I even got some new product last night to try and,
Is it a hat?
No, it's not a hat.
Did you think about going back and complaining to the barber?
No, I don't want to go back to that guy. I decided I'm done with him. Like, get this. So, like, last time, he has this system where, like, you text him before to see if there's room. So I did that.
Is the system called a cell phone?
Well, okay. But I always text him, like, hey, Tony, you got time in half an hour. It's always half an hour. And he's like, yeah. And so I go in there, and he's like, why do you keep calling me Tony? I'm like, huh? He's like, you've been coming here for months, and you call me Tony every time. My name's Ralph. And I'm like, well, it's Tony's barber, and you're the only one here, and you've never corrected me for months. I feel like this isn't on me. And he's like, well, it's Ralph. I'm like, okay.
Do you think his last name is Tony?
No.
Ralph Tony?
He says, he's like, I took over the place from Tony. I'm like, I didn't know that. I come in here, it says Tony's Barber, or Tony's Barbershop. And you're the only one here. And
they should change the name to formerly Tony's Barbershop, now Ralph's.
Now Ralph's, yeah. Now Ralph.
And then he gave you a bad haircut after you
gave
him all
this. And then he gave
me
a bad haircut, and he gave me a hard time about not knowing his name's Ralph. It says Tony on his card. He gave me his card. It says Tony.
They should change the name to, like, John's Barbershop just to make it more confusing.
Ugh.
Tony, why'd you change the name of the place to John's?
No, I'm Ralph. Tony used to own the place. Who's John? It's the barbershop.
Tony's been dead for 40 years. That got grim fast.
Yeah. So Plus my hair.
So how are you, Cameron?
I'm all right.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm. I've been watching a lot of television this week.
What have you been watching?
Arrested Development.
There you go.
Season 1. Or season 4. I've actually watched it all now.
Wow.
I finished it yesterday. 2 days to watch it.
Even though Mitch Hurwitz said specifically not to binge watch it?
Listen, he's not my boss.
He's the boss of the show.
Well, if he wants to stop making it again, I guess that's the only way to get back at me.
So what do you think?
I have somewhat mixed feelings. Overall, I think it was pretty good, though.
Okay. I've seen the first 3 episodes.
So, remember how we were watching the Lindsay episode and we said her face looked weird?
That's right.
Yeah. She had a lot of makeup. I looked it up and she just had plastic surgery. So that's probably why her face looks weird.
Mm.
That's what I figured. Most in the lips.
Yeah.
The forehead.
Her nose tilts in a different direction now. And her skin is very... her skin is very, like, taut.
much like Lucille.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care about Lucille. She lies. But yeah, you know, if you haven't been following Arrested Development, I would probably rewatch some of the old seasons, because despite trying to be as, like, exposition-heavy and giving people a chance to get caught back up, you need to know the characters pretty well to make this work. They do a whole different thing, right? It's kind of like, I've heard it compared to Rashomon.
Revisiting
the same story from different perspectives.
Yeah, apparently Mitch Hurwitz wanted you to be able to watch the episodes in any order, and for it to be equally good. He did not succeed.
Yeah, you couldn't watch them in any order.
No.
But nonetheless, pretty good. I liked it.
Mm-hmm.
I've got other news for you.
Lay on me.
So,
and Patrick too.
You may remember last week we were talking about various people who have been in touch with us through social media and other means. Hopefully you haven't emailed us, because I don't think we're checking that.
Mm-mm.
I am.
Perfect. So one of the people I mentioned by name, and I struggled, was someone named Mike, and I think we said...
Zepiel?
Zepiel is what we said. It's spelt C-Z-E-P-I-E-L or C-Z-E-P-I-E-L, depending on where you are. And he got in touch with us. Number one, he was impressed that it was only 3 minutes in for a reference to his name. So this week he'll be less impressed because we're like 7 minutes in or something.
Mm-hmm.
But he gave me a pronunciation guide for his name. He says that it looks harder than it is, that you just take out the Z and...
Is it Ralph? Is it actually Ralph?
It could be Ralph.
Mike Ralph.
Mike Ralph. Mike Tony.
Yeah.
So take the Z out. So my guess is that it's Sepiel.
Yeah.
Unless it's a hard C, in which place it's Kepiel.
It must be Sepiel.
Sepiel makes more sense to me. But it could be...
Kepiel.
Could be Kepiel. Feels like Sepiel to me. Feels like a Sepiel.
He even gave us a pronunciation
guide. I thought he gave us a pronunciation guide.
He just says take out the Z.
Well, I took the Z out. I tried.
It could be Sepiel or Kepiel. It must be Sepiel.
I'm going with Sepiel. So, Mike... Thanks for the heads up, and from all of us here at What's the Deal, we're sorry.
I'm not really sorry.
You're never sorry.
Yeah.
Well, we just lost Mike.
Mm-hmm.
It'll be fine.
And, you know, this would normally be the point of the show where I would talk about all the other tweets and Facebook messages we've received, but they were all from your mom.
You know what we need? We need a hashtag.
Your mom still won't add me on Twitter.
She doesn't like you.
Yeah, I don't blame her.
It's your harsh, aggressive tone that, I don't know, it's off-putting.
I don't know if you wanna have my mom follow you on Twitter. It's a mixed bag.
Yeah.
Well, it's not a mixed bag, it's just it requires a lot of thought process.
Yeah.
It's very exciting. I find her tweets exciting. They're like a Dan Brown novel.
Mm-hmm. Like a cryptex.
Didn't we talk about Dan Brown last episode?
Cameron's been reading Dan Brown, so he's got it on the brain.
All right.
I mean, I wasn't going to go ahead and mention it, but now that you have, let me go ahead and tell you. If it's Pulp Fiction time for you, Inferno is where it's at. Robert Langdon, Amnesia.
Yeah, that's Tom Hanks, right?
Yeah. That is Tom Hanks, yeah.
Yeah, all right.
Do you picture him as Tom Hanks as you read the book?
Absolutely not.
Oh, really?
No.
Who do you picture him as?
I don't know, the person that I built up in my mind.
Shia LaBeouf.
Boof Bonzer?
Why Shia LaBeouf? Why did that come to you? Why did the beef come to you there, Chris?
I don't know.
Why do you sound so scared, Chris?
Why did the beef come to me?
I don't know why the
maybe
beef
when came you to when you when you have to picture someone in your head. It's never Shia LaBeouf, so maybe it was.
Chris, have you seen Star Trek yet?
Yeah.
You were supposed to let me know I was going to buy you a ticket for your birthday.
I know, it happened suddenly.
Just happened so fast.
Sometimes
what am I doing at
happen?
The theater?
All right, well, we can't talk about it, apparently. Because Patrick hasn't seen it, and maybe Mike hasn't seen it. And
you know, do you think Felix has seen it? Who knows?
Hello and welcome to What's the Deal, the only Seinfeld review podcast with Star Trek spoilers.
Do you think they even get Star Trek in Finland?
Do you mean, like, do they understand it there?
No, do they show it on a movie?
Why are you talking about Finland?
Or where's he from? Denmark? Yeah. Norway?
No.
Sweden.
You're just as bad as Justin. He's from Sweden.
Okay.
Norrköping.
I'm sorry.
You know, Felix pretty soon is going to think I'm the only one that cares. And you're the one that's got the Felix tattoo.
I care. I just confused Finland with other Northern European countries.
Mm-hmm.
High liquor taxes there. Or low liquor taxes.
Very high. You know, I found out today that there's a television license fee in the UK.
Oh, really? Yeah, they got, fake inspectors who go around telling people that they can detect if they're watching TV without a license.
Is that a joke?
No, they're, like, television detectives. They go around with, like, vans with, like, satellite dishes on them.
Did you know that there's two different fees? One for if you have a color TV and one if it's black and white. Yeah.
And one if you just want a radio license.
I think it's actually pretty great. I kind of wish we had one.
Mm-hmm. I like the idea of this fake TV, of these vans driving around with satellite dishes and people with white lab coats pretending to detect if you're watching BBC.
They just hold down, like, I don't know, a level finder over your TV. Beep, beep.
Apparently they send you threatening letters, too. Hmm? If you, stop paying your television taxes.
Now, what if you have a television, but you don't use it to watch television? You, like, just have, like, your Super Nintendo hooked up to it.
Well, that's the thing. You can opt not to pay.
You can opt not to pay the tax. Who would opt to pay the tax?
Well, if you watch it.
Well, they use it to collect money for the BBC.
Yeah. The television tax pays for BBC instead of getting, like, direct government funding. Or maybe it's a portion of their funding. I'm not sure how that works.
Well, I looked it up today, and they have a budget of about 7.5 billion Canadian dollars. So,
it's high.
I think that's, like, $4.
Yeah, something like that.
So,
what's this show about again?
What? We're talking about Arrested Development this week. Ba-dum-ba-dum.
Ba-dum-ba-dum. Ba-dum. Very good.
Thank you.
That wasn't very good at all.
So if you'd like to follow along with this week's episode of Seinfeld, head on over to whatsthedealshow.com and check it out. We have the show notes for today's episode, as well as everyone's favorite part of the show, and by everyone I mean mine, Other Business. Today, we'll be looking at Season 3, Episode 20, The Good Samaritan, in which Jerry witnesses a woman hitting somebody else's car. He goes to confront her, but finds her too beautiful to turn her in. Kramer is having seizures, and George initiates an affair by telling someone, God bless you.
I have issues with every part of your description, but it'll do.
Well, we can talk about that as we go through.
All right.
So the episode starts with the monologue.
Chris watched the wrong episode.
Why couldn't they get out of the parking lot?
Why didn't you mention the puffy shirt? So the episode starts with the monologue, and it's kind of an oddly, like, prescient monologue. He talks about how we have, like, the car phone and the answering machine and the voicemail and the pager and blah, blah, blah. And everyone has things to say all the time, but you never give people a chance to miss you.
I would not call this monologue prescient. I would call it dated.
Really?
Yeah.
He could just be, you could just substitute the words in there for Twitter and Facebook, and then boom, monologue for today.
Yeah, but every time someone goes on a rant about how, we spend too much time on the Twitter, I immediately think that person's old. And doing a monologue about, like, people are on these phones, but they got nothing to talk about. Just have some time where you're not on the phone. It seemed pretty dated to me.
Well, what did you think, Cameron?
My note was that was doing these phone jokes avant-garde, so I guess I'm with you, Patrick.
Yeah.
And yet, in my next line, I wrote, time has proven this theory wrong, I think.
If anything, we have much more bandwidth for telling people anything about us. For example, having a podcast about your opinions about a 10-year-old TV show.
I don't know what you're talking about.
It's called Keeping It Fresh, Patrick.
20-year-old TV show. I'm, of course, talking about CheersCast.
I hate those guys at CheersCast.
Yeah, they're just ripping off the whole format of Night Court podcast.
I hear they have bulls as a guest this week.
Sweet. It's pretty tall, that bull.
You know, speaking of other cast podcasts, you know, I saw their little tweet from last week, and I went back and listened to the episode, and we all know who I'm talking about. I'm not going to name any names.
Curbcast?
I'm not going to name names.
But it's Curbcast, right?
Curbcast, right?
Just give me a signal. Okay, Cameron winked at me, so it's Curbcast.
I can't see the signal!
That's why I narrate.
I winked right into the microphone.
Oh, my earballs.
Anyhow, when they said that they were giving us a name drop on their show, it was pretty subtle. It was about as subtle as, I don't know, me winking at the microphone because you can't tell what I'm doing at all.
That's what I said.
I know, told you. But I didn't think it was going to be that bad.
Yeah, it's very subtle. They're just like that other podcast, and that was it.
But they didn't even say that other podcast, and it was a disparaging remark.
I know. And we only speak about them in positive, dulcet tones.
Like, they're the best podcast if you want to listen to a podcast that burns your ears.
Cameron was doing air quotes that whole time.
Curbcast
you can't
sucks.
See this because it's an audio-only medium.
Anyhow, I've had it right up to here with them.
Don't get me started.
Did you see that they got a retweet?
No, from who?
Jeff Garlin.
What?
Yeah, that's right.
Come on.
Let's move on.
I can't get over this, Chris. I can't move on.
I'll get all mad. And last time this happened, we had to retweet.
I bet we could get Jason Alexander to retweet something we tweet.
Yeah, like, only losers get plugs when they're 60.
See, this is why no one likes us. If they just said Jeff Garlin is, like, fat and the audio quality of his podcast isn't very good, they wouldn't retweet him. They wouldn't retweet us. But we don't. We gotta be positive.
Power of positive thinking.
PPP.
So, Patrick,
PPT.
Take us away from this monologue.
Yeah. So, the first meaty scene of the episode is we've got Jerry in his car talking on his car phone to Elaine. And, you know, there's some general driving humor where we see a guy who, I don't know if you guys have experienced this, but like someone in front of you who waits to the last minute to merge and then like sort of waves at you like he's thanking you for cutting you off. You know, this guy does this and Jerry's, you know, predictably annoyed. And then Jerry sees a hit and run.
Okay, let me tell you this right now. You gotta give a thank you wave, though. It's the fabric of society.
You give a thank you wave if someone has a choice and does something nice for you. If you just are pulling in anyway.
So what do you? But if you've screwed up and you want to acknowledge it, what do you do?
You do like a meek wave, you know, like sorry.
I think from the back, it looks. I think it all looks like a thank you wave.
But you know, Seinfeld taught me this. I learned this from Seinfeld long before I could drive. I mean, my parents, you know, probably did it once or twice, but like, honestly, I learned the importance of the I'm sorry wave or the thank you wave or just the wave if, you know, you get let in. I learned all of this.
I think there's a difference, a distinct difference between a thank you wave and a sorry wave.
And by the way, that was an I'm not sorry wave. See, the fact that Jerry had
that
to explain
the life.
The fact that Jerry had to explain it tells me that it's too subtle. Because when you're mad, when the person does the meek wave, you think they're giving you a thank you wave. And you're like, why are you being thankful? You cut me off. You son of a gun.
You know, speaking of car driving things, I think I heard this actually on the
don't you say it.
The Neutral podcast. But someone said that, like, so, like, if you give someone the finger if they do something bad, right, it just makes them also mad. and you're also mad, so you're just distributing the madness. But if you give them, like, a thumbs down, then it just kind of looks like they're, like, a bad driver and they feel bad about themselves.
I think they'd still be mad.
I've been giving people the thumbs down. It's pretty satisfying.
Yeah, but I don't... You're just making yourself feel good. They're still mad behind you. You're still distributing madness.
Maybe, but the main purpose for me is to feel better instead of feeling, reinforcing my anger.
But I mean, I feel good when I flip somebody off when I'm driving. Yeah. Chris, weigh in on this. You're a pretty angry passenger and driver.
Thumbs down seems okay as long as they can see it.
Well, you can see a thumbs down as well as you can see a middle finger.
Yeah. I guess.
Just give it a try next time.
This, I'm just saying, it's not the Colosseum, you know? I'm not like holding...
But that's why I kind of like it.
And I judge this as... And then what, do you give them a thumbs up or thumbs down?
Wouldn't it be great if you were like... Maybe I'll try to give drinking a drink and you could throw it at the car? I'd love to do that.
That's a lot more aggressive than a thumbs down.
Yeah, especially if like you got it in their window. Finger. It just got all over their car. And then you just drove off and honked.
I don't know why I'm surprised the conversation went in this direction coming from Chris, but...
Did I ever tell you about the time when Chris demonstrated to me that he has the ultimate sort of, like, angry car etiquette?
No.
I hadn't had my driver's license for too long, and we were in a parking lot near...
Did you tell this story on the show?
I think you told this story on the podcast before.
I already told this story?
Yeah.
You do tell this story every time you get...
All right, well, if I'm starting to repeat stories, the show's over. Folks, that's it. Forget it. Take it off your subscription list. What's the deal is done. Or we'll just move on. Either way, I can't believe I've told that story. It's gold, Jerry. Gold.
Well, it is a good story.
You used it. Maybe in 100 episodes you can use it again.
Well, on our 100th episode review episode, I'll just put in the clip of me telling the story and then the clip of me being confused that I already told the story.
Yeah.
Oh, that's going to be a good episode. That's the episode that we become eligible for syndication.
So Jerry sees this hit and run. Jerry doesn't want to do anything about it, but Elaine calls him Yella. And he goes after the person who does the hit and run. He gets out of the car. As Cameron said earlier, it's a beautiful woman.
Well, this is where I had an issue with it.
Okay.
She's hot, you know? She's okay looking. She's good enough for Jerry to do what he does in the beginning, but then things fall apart later on the show in terms of how realistic the episode is based on levels of attractiveness. But we can keep going.
So if you saw a car hit another car, Chris, would you follow the other guy?
Yeah, absolutely.
How far?
I would probably follow him. I feel like I'm with Elaine until I have a chance to do something. Or, you know what, I might just follow him until I can get the number. Like, get the
license plate? Because then you're following them, like, one block.
Well, if I, like, you know, couldn't follow them for very long. That's probably what I would do. Unless they did turn out to be really attractive, and then I'd follow them for, like, a long time.
What if they went on the highway? Would you just keep going?
You'd make it like a habit of following them. You'd become
it depends on if I, it depends on what I had to do that day.
You're just going home. You were originally going home. It's the end of the day. There's nothing left. You're just going home to do whatever it is you do.
No, I'd get the license plates. I'd call the cops. And then I'd tell the purple. And then maybe I'd call the cops and say that person was drunk. Just for good measure.
But, I mean, how would you know if they were drunk?
No, they probably weren't drunk, but it would, you know.
That's the thing. Why would the police take that as truth?
So, I would say they were driving around.
Chris, I'm the police officer that you're calling. Yeah. You call me.
How's it going, officer?
I'm good. What are you calling about?
What are you wearing?
Click.
That was it?
No, okay. I'd be like, sir, I just saw a man that was clearly intoxicated. He was stumbling, and he had a bottle of wine that he chugged and then got into his car, and then he rammed into the back of another car, and he drove off. And then he hit a kid. But mostly the car.
So
here's the license plate number.
So, I'm sorry, this was a man or a woman? You said he and she a few times.
It was a man.
Okay. So, hit a child?
Well, he hit the car first.
How is the child?
He's fine. Well, maybe not.
What, you're not sure you didn't stop and see the child? You didn't check if the child was okay? Okay, I'm gonna need your number, sir.
Yeah, and this is like,
who are you? What's your address?
This is just like an episode where Jerry tries to
question me.
When Jerry tries to pay off the debt to the other lady, Chris has just incriminated himself as the drunk driver.
Sir, are you intoxicated?
The kid came out of nowhere.
How many drinks have you had tonight, sir? Before you called us here at the station. Sorry, this is Officer. Officer Fritz, supervisor.
Officer Jerkface.
Okay, sir.
We've traced this call. We're sending a squad car.
Also, his name's Tony, and he will be pressing charges for
his
harassment.
His name is Ralph.
No, he's driving Ralph's car. Ralph retired. And scene.
Ralph never took the vanity plates off. Just left them on.
Okay. So, the next scene, we're in the apartment. Jerry's telling George about the whole thing.
Well, we skipped the part where he talks to her, and she's attractive.
Well, we said that she was attractive and that he didn't do anything.
Well, I guess we didn't skip that part.
Okay, so the next scene, Jerry, we learned, asked her out for a decaf cappuccino, which is oddly specific.
Yes.
And it went well. She touched his arm.
Yeah.
And Patrick, how do you feel about the sort of like laugh or compliment, sort of like arm or shoulder touch?
Yeah, so that was the thing. It went well. Yeah, touched his arm. I don't know. I love it.
She wants the D.
So we know how Chris feels about it. Cameron, you like the arm touch?
It's very charming.
Yeah, it's great. You know what's going well if he had an arm touch.
Yeah.
I just said it.
She wants the D.
Who's the she in this sentence?
Arm toucher.
Arm toucher.
And so Jerry's also like super magnanimous, you know, very selfishly, that, you know, who is he to judge this woman? And society should forgive and forget. And also, that means that he gets to forget about it and go out on a date with this attractive woman.
George talks about how it's great and he thinks it's a good idea because it's a good story about how you met someone.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of half agree. I think having a good meet story is kind of fun. And that if they got away with this one for a long enough time, it would be a funny story.
Yeah, if it was like 15 years later and then she could be like, I know it was terrible, but you know, I was broke, I couldn't afford the hit on my insurance, blah, blah, blah. You know, that could be a good story. But if it's like that year, it's just like you're just a horrible person.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, when we get to the part about the kid, it's like,
she's a monster.
We're really happy together, though.
You don't tell that part of the story.
But as the scene's playing out and George and Jerry are talking, George is just kind of in the flow of the scene, takes out two glasses and just pours two glasses of milk. Now, Jerry does comment on it afterwards, but it seemed so weird and out of place to me watching it happen. Just showing up at a friend's house, just two bros having a glass of milk.
Why do you think... Do you think they included this just because it was bizarre and Jerry could make the what am I doing drinking milk joke?
Yeah, I guess so. Hmm. Maybe it was based on something that happened.
I feel like I've told the story about Naked Matlock in my first apartment on the show, haven't I?
Yeah, absolutely. Yes.
Yeah,
so we have an episode of our show called Naked Matlock.
Yeah.
There you go. It's just the fact that he had milk was always the weirdest thing.
Patrick, yeah. Do you have a story you want to repeat?
I've done that before.
Already?
Yeah.
It's true, the Tupperware that you broke.
Yeah.
He didn't break Tupperware. He ruined Apple Crisp forever.
Yeah.
It's just not as good as it used to be.
So Elaine comes in. And she asks Jerry how it went confronting, you know, the dude who was driving and did this hit and run. And Jerry just straight up lies. He says he confronted the guy, got into a little scuffle, whole thing.
Shoving match. George is really loving being a jerk in this scene.
Mm. Which surprises me because this whole thing is such a George thing to do, to just dive into the lie. And Jerry, I don't know, do you think Jerry would try and sabotage it a little bit?
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah?
Jerry loves that.
All right.
100%.
He'd call George Biff as he did it. Yeah, tell her about the shoving match, Biff. Yeah, and so there's another setup where we see Kramer come in. He has a head injury. Happened while he's listening to Entertainment Tonight. Or watching Entertainment Tonight. He doesn't know how it happened.
Mary Hart.
And we see Elaine. She had asked Jerry earlier. Oh, I guess we didn't mention this. In the opening scene, the reason Elaine is on the phone with Jerry was she has to go out on this thing with her friend Robin Sandusky, who is a real boar. And Jerry agreed to go with her. But now he's got this date with this woman who he just met. And so George agrees to go out with her.
Good call.
And so we see this dinner where George makes a pig of himself and Elaine lies and says she dated a bullfighter. Now, why do you think Elaine says she dated a bullfighter? She was just so bored.
Well, because she's talking about how you need to really impress these married people because their lives are so great.
Oh, right.
And so Elaine's trying to do it. And I think as far as it goes, pretty good lie story. Pretty funny.
Yeah. I would be impressed if I knew someone who dated a bullfighter.
Yeah. I would be impressed. I'd be mad. I don't like bullfighters.
Okay, but you wouldn't be impressed?
No.
Okay.
I'd be impressed.
Why is that impressive?
Because it's scary.
It's an exotic job.
Eh.
Okay, what if Elaine had dated a tofu fighter?
There we go with the tofu jokes.
Honestly, is the first ever tofu joke on What's the Deal.
I mean, I was about to say 36 episodes in, and there's one tofu joke.
Yeah.
Here we go. I was just waiting for this shoe to drop.
Yeah.
And so the big dramatic moment in the scene is when Robin sneezes. George is looking around incredulous that no one says anything, looks around, no one's saying anything.
No one is saying anything.
He says, God bless you.
There's a good gap. There's a good gap.
There's
of time.
A good There's a gap.
Total gap.
And Michael, Robin's husband, I guess, he hates this.
And I mean, George is on like operating on a whole different level in this scene. Number one, he's like a surgeon in there at the food. Parmesan. Bread. He's just like shouting out, like Elaine's the nurse, like the clamps, please.
Well, he's like a surgeon in his demands for what he wants, but he's like a bear that woke up from hibernation in how he's eating.
I mean, it's pretty great. He's just sucking it back. But yeah. I thought it was so funny, honestly, I immediately thought of a surgeon. Just the like direct
best assault.
Straightforward, yeah. Just commands. And then the thing, of course, is that even though George gets in there with the God bless you, he has to take it that one George step further and talk about how he could tell this guy was not going to do it.
Yeah. And he says this guy so dismissively, like there's no way he could not take offense. Yeah, it was.
He was just trying to be folksy.
But yeah, Michael, super pissed off. And Robin kind of like makes eyes with George after he says, God bless you.
Well,
eyes all right.
This relationship can't be that great that one God bless you, she's making eyes.
3 years, not one God bless you. 3 years.
Now, why is she marrying this joker? That broke the camel's back.
And you know, she even sneezes again. Michael doesn't say anything.
He's like, well...
Well, he wasn't going to do it now, for sure, because now he's being goaded.
Yeah. And that's it. George says God bless you again.
As well he should.
Yeah.
The next scene is pretty strange on Jerry's little date.
Yeah, so Jerry's on a date, and he's in his apartment, right?
No, he's in the car.
Oh, right. He's in the car at the end of the date. And he's just trying to milk a confession out of her. You know, he keeps saying, like, stories about celebrities being bad drivers, but, you know, if they ever hit someone, they'd apologize. They'd leave a note.
It's a weird date. They're just sitting in the car eating ice cream.
It's not a weird date. It's the end of the date. It's right before you go upstairs.
Yeah, I feel like they went to a movie or they went out to dinner. And
I just don't think you'd take the ice cream to go. You'd eat the ice cream there.
You could take the ice cream.
What if there was a place that you could only get it to go?
It doesn't exist.
No, sometimes there's like an... yeah, probably not.
Drive-through ice creamery.
What if it was a gross place that had a really good ice cream?
Maybe they just wanted to get that. They wanted to get out of there, you know, so they could have ice cream and banter in the car.
Yeah, they just want time to themselves.
Oh, I don't know.
Jerry wants to tell stories about celebrities.
Ice cream leads to other things, Cameron.
Yeah. And so anyway, she's not confessing anything. And, you know, then we see the next day. George is telling this God bless you story. Do you guys think saying God bless you is important?
I think some sort of sneeze follow-up is a nice touch.
Yeah, I usually say something. I usually say bless you, though.
That's what I say.
So lots of stuff is discussed here. Number one, did George leave enough time? I think unanimously we all say George left enough time.
Yeah, Michael's a D-bag.
But let me tell you this right now. He wants the D.
Yeah.
Jerry brings up the multiple sneezers. These multiple sneezers think they're real special.
I'm a multiple sneezer.
I know you are. And I tell you this, you're only getting one. So don't try and trick me into getting
one. You know what? We only want one.
Yeah, I don't think people want a God bless you on every sneeze.
No, it's just
a multiple sneezer would say that.
You know more coming.
Just get it out of the way.
Are you really a single sneezer?
Depends.
Okay, so you're also a multiple sneezer.
But I have allergies. Real world allergies.
Okay.
See, I've sneezed several times during this podcast with the mute thing on.
Are you mad you didn't say God bless you when you had the mute press?
I've never said God bless you.
God bless you.
But it's the multiple sneeze. I'm always waiting for that last one, and I always think it's the last one. But I just feel like these intense multiple sneezers, they're just waiting. They want that one more. They always punctuate your bless you with one more sneeze. And I'll tell you this, right away, they're not getting one more. You get one bless you per sneeze. If you're spreading your sneeze out over like 18 mini sneezes, you're just getting one.
I don't have mini sneezes.
You're a monster, Chris.
So we also see Kramer come in. They're just sitting watching Entertainment Tonight for some reason. Kramer comes in. He has a seizure when Mary Hart comes on.
I can't imagine just sitting around watching Entertainment Tonight.
It's weird, but I've come over to your house and like sports highlights have been on, and I've watched the loop 3 or 4 times.
But I like sports highlights.
It's true. Maybe they like Entertainment Tonight.
Nah, nobody likes Entertainment
Maybe the
Tonight.
Early 90s was like the golden years of entertainment television.
I mean, at least watch Hard Copy.
Yeah.
You remember Hard Copy?
Yeah, Bill O'Reilly's show. We'll do it live!
So, is that what a seizure is really like?
No.
I don't even know if that's a seizure necessarily, but Elaine figures out that something about Mary Hart being on television makes Kramer go nuts.
Glad you added the nuts in there.
Yeah.
Would you prefer bonkers?
Bonkers?
Spazzing out?
Are you Regis Philbin?
Bonkers. So, we also learn when George comes over that Robin Sandusky, wants to, quote, get together with George. George doesn't seem to think this is a big deal, but everyone else does.
Where's the Comic Sans?
This one's all visual. Speaks for itself.
Do you get it, Patrick?
Yeah, like the ring?
Yeah, it's the ring.
Mary Hart comes on, you die.
Well, pretty scary.
Do you think they have the ring in Sweden, Patrick?
Probably. Yeah, so this seems to be pretty clearly an invitation to an affair. Getting together?
Yeah.
Yeah. And You know, George, he's kind of thrilled by this. He, you know, is excited. It's so adult is the thing that he's really excited.
Lingerie.
Stockings, martinis, William Holden.
Can I just say something? I think this may be the most attractive woman that George sleeps with on Seinfeld. So I say, you know, he should be excited.
Susan's pretty attractive.
No.
No?
No.
Well, there was no cutting that with Chris. Just no.
But this woman's a sneezer.
What? And I mean, I think you're wrong. What about the woman who's dating Neil?
Yeah.
I don't know. I think Robin's got it going on.
What about that actor from
Marissa Tomei?
Marissa Tomei, yeah.
Yeah, but he didn't sleep with her.
What about the lady from the hand model photo shoot?
Yeah, she's very beautiful.
Did he sleep with her?
Yes.
It's implied. Sure. Yeah.
Really?
I think so.
No, let me see what she looks like. Hold on.
What about Audrey? She had a big nose, but she was otherwise attractive.
Yeah, big nose.
All right.
I'm just saying, George did good here.
So we also learned that the blonde with the blue sweatpants is the one who owns the car that Jerry's new girlfriend hit.
What's going on with this lady with the blonde sweatpants? Does she only have one pair of pants? They all know her as the lady with these pants, or are they
she
just
put, those are probably
pants.
Just her hanging
it's her
around
workout.
Clothes.
It's her workout pants.
Yeah. Oh, apparently she was in a lot of Left Behind episodes.
Oh, no, this is the, this is the lady that dates Neil.
This is tragic, though. We'll keep going. We'll keep going.
So yeah, blonde with the blue sweatpants. Jerry's super into him. George.
It's a her.
Or it's her. A her. George thinks he should rat out hit and run lady to the blonde. Do you guys think Jerry should do this?
Absolutely.
He's flying too close to the sun.
Well, no, I mean, I'm telling you right now, he should have done this. He should have ratted out the hit-and-run lady, because we all know how much Jerry Seinfeld loves Superman.
Mm-hmm.
The blonde with the blue sweatpants is Helen Slater. Helen Slater is Supergirl. This is the closest Jerry ever got to being with Superman, intimately. And he could have been great.
Well, and the woman who plays the, it becomes pretty clear later when Jerry later, I guess this woman's named Angela, when he confronts her about this, she seems clearly insane. Like a horrifying person.
Yeah. Yeah. She should have just ratted her out and gone out with Supergirl.
Yeah. So, the next scene, Jerry decides he's gonna try to convince this woman to confess. She freaks out.
Doesn't take it well.
Have we not actually jumped across a couple scenes here?
Did we?
No, maybe.
Well, we don't have George. We skip past George's affair, where Jerry meets Lady across the hall when Elaine takes the phone call.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe. What is this scene? I don't understand.
So, the next scene after this, Jerry goes to see the blonde woman. He goes to see Angela.
Oh, right. He says he, like, knows her or something? Or saw the hit and run?
Yeah, he's gonna do whatever it takes to make it work. And then she says, God bless you, and touches his arm.
Oh, right. Yeah, it's a really short scene.
Yeah, it's like maybe 10 seconds.
The next scene is where George, he's at his house, in his apartment, he's boned down with this lady, and
he sure has
an important detail, George has dinosaur sheets.
He's got dinosaur sheets and an amazing Justice League poster.
Yeah. I'm curious about George's whole apartment at this point.
Yeah, it's, okay, just stop, Patrick, stop. She's gonna back out the window and you lift her that way. That was scary for me.
Sorry.
It's all right.
It's all right. Patrick's trying to throw my cat out the window.
Don't do it, Patrick.
I failed.
Next time.
But yeah, so the whole apartment's pretty interesting because what's happening there? If the bedroom's like this, what is the living room like? Is there a bouncy castle out there? Or?
Do you think he just transported his childhood bedroom to his new apartment when he got this apartment?
It's quite possible.
Same bed sheets.
But in the early seasons, you never get the impression that this is what George's room would look like. At least I didn't.
No, he's a successful realtor.
Yeah, like, he'd have nice sheets. Did he lose his sheets when he got fired?
Hey, Costanza, turn your sheets in.
The company sheets you were issued. And then so he had to go back to his childhood sheets. Yeah, maybe the issue for the torrid affairs that they have with the clients. But yeah, it's this whole thing. It's an uncomfortable scene for me. And then we also see...
I think it's fine. It's nice, nice post-coital moment.
While this
lovely.
Is happening, Elaine gets a phone call. Michael's called her. Asks where his wife is. Elaine says she hasn't seen her all afternoon. Michael figures out the whole thing, that she's with George, and says he's going to sew his ass to his face and break his joints and reattach them.
You know, I don't know if it's just early season Elaine, but I actually think it's Elaine all the time. Elaine is the worst liar of the group.
Oh, she's terrible.
It's actually amazing what a bad liar she is. Elaine would have done better to just hang up.
What is her lie? What does she say that she...
She was there, actually, now that she thinks about it, and she left a note.
Right.
But he didn't believe it. I love how she leans down and crinkles the paper like she's holding, like a 40-pile wad of notes that she has from everyone that's come
by. I think she's done that move before, too, crinkling some paper. And so he's obviously furious. And actually, a thing we forgot to mention earlier is when they were talking about sneezes in general, is that Jerry thinks people should say, "You're so good looking."
It's a nice thing to say to someone.
Yeah, it's nice.
And so nice that Cameron does it to this day.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's just being polite. It's just manners.
This guy wasn't going to say it. And so Michael sneezes after he threatens her, or threatens George, I guess. And Elaine tries out this move. Does not seem to work very well. He hangs up.
I mean, at least she gave it a go.
Yeah. And speaking of insane threats, Jerry, in the next scene, tries to convince Angela to confess. Angela threatens Jerry in a completely insane way, with just as much rage as Michael had in the previous scene. I feel like Angela and Michael should get together.
I feel like, who cares if Angela's mad? Turn her in. Go out with Supergirl.
Well, she threatened to, beat him up in a similar way that Michael threatened to beat up George.
I don't know if it was obvious from what Supergirl was wearing in the scene, but she is stacked.
Like, she likes Jenga?
No.
She's tall.
Is this about height?
Oh, she's wearing high heels.
With sweatpants?
Platform shoes.
Wait, she's twins and she's standing on her twin.
No.
Who's been the closest to the right answer? So, in this scene, I don't know if you guys noticed...
And she can fly!
I couldn't quite exactly get a screen cap of it. Maybe Chris can get a capture of this. On Jerry's fridge, there's a brief moment when Elaine is talking about her Matador story. Eduardo Corriccio.
Corriccio.
There's like some weird pictures, like baby photos or something on the fridge. I wonder if it was some more baby photos of Jerry.
I didn't see.
But if we get a chance, we'll throw those on the show notes, see if we can't add to our screen caps of pictures on the show.
And Elaine in the scene confesses to George that she blew it on the phone with Michael, and George is freaked out.
I mean, I feel like this might have been a mistake for George.
Engaging in this affair?
Yes.
with Why? This woman who has it.
Because, number one, I don't think you should probably get engaged in affairs. Number two, George is a person that in no world should be in an affair because he can't handle the pressure.
And he's not very discreet. yeah, I feel like George can't even handle a regular nice relationship without there being problems. Yeah, so the next scene, Jerry decides he's gonna go to the blonde with the blue sweatpants, try to figure out this whole thing, and, sort of speak on behalf of Angela.
And he should have just manned up, been like, yeah, I wanted out with that girl, but here she is. She's a terrible person. She hit your car. Here's her license plate number. Please
Jerry,
go with me.
Jerry did not, and he makes it sound like he smashed up the car.
Yeah.
And he makes it worse by offering to write her a check for the damage. Makes it out to her name, Becky Gelke.
What a name.
And obviously she thinks he did it and feels guilty.
You gotta have a normal sounding name when you're from Krypton, though, so not make people think, you know, you're super.
I think Clark Kent may have been a better name
than Becky Gelke.
Becky Gelke.
Yeah.
Actually, well, Becky Gelke is pretty good. It has a real ring to it. Like, it could be like Becky Gelke, girl detective.
Yeah. In my mind, Becky Gelke, someone that name only can exist in a high school.
Becky Gelke, card sharp.
No, I think you have to be a high school student. Ms. Gelke, is that gum?
Becky Gelke, underwater welder.
Gelke, where's your homework?
Yeah. Oh, Gelke in gym class? Pick it up, Gelke.
Yeah, like Gelke, I think you can only be
pick
in high school.
Pick those knees up.
Not having any part of this.
Try out a layup. Gelke, hit the showers.
Do you disagree with this assessment, Chris?
Are you going to take out the part where he said she is stacked?
I don't know yet. I have to, you know, when you edit the show, you kind of have to listen to it as a whole and in the moment decide, or, you know, outside of the moment, decide how offensive the things Chris said on the show are and what can stay in and what has to go.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe upon review, I'll listen to it and the part where you said that thing won't seem too bad. And I'll be like, you know what? Let's leave that in the show. Or maybe I'll be listening to it and I'm like, man, Felix is not going to like this.
Mm-mm.
And then I got to snip, snip, cut it right out of the show.
Does it happen a lot? Because like when I'm listening to him, I forget.
Doesn't happen too much, I don't think.
Oh, good.
And I mean, if you can't hear it, that means that no one can tell where the edits are and everyone's happy.
Yeah. So, in the apartment.
So wait, hang on. No, Chris, Becky Gelke.
Yeah.
What about this name?
Yeah, it's okay, I guess.
Gelke, wait, damn it. Gelke, you're late.
I don't like it. It's three just laps. It's phonetically awkward.
Actually, Patrick, I think you were right. I think it'd be like, Gelke, come here. It's Gelke.
Becky Gelke.
Shut up, Gelke. Go to the principal's office.
I've had enough of your sass, Gelke. You know what the problem is? She was named Rebecca. Rebecca Gelke. That sounds way better.
Rebecca Gelke. Yeah.
That's much better.
The problem is
Gelke Gelke.
The problem is that her friends wanted to call her Becky. And she got it in her head that that was a good idea, but it wasn't. Her parents were right. It should be Rebecca.
Well, and in the 90s, everyone was probably like, hey, look, it's Larry and Gelke. Did you catch Larry and Gelke on TV last night?
I mean, you can't help your last name.
That's a Perfect Strangers joke, in case.
I know, it's a Balky reference. Are you saying Balky was from Krypton? You are saying that.
Stay tuned for Balky Cast.
We did that joke already.
Yeah, we did.
What is this, just a review episode?
This is like the episode...
It's a clip episode.
This is like the episode where Chris was on water skis and jumped over a shark.
What, we made that joke?
Oh, we did?
No. We already made a joke about Perfect Strangers and doing Belky Cast.
Oh, we did, make one about Belky. Yeah, I think we did.
Belky Cast? Okay.
I don't think it's called Belky Cast, but
no, it was the Perfect Strangers Review Cast.
Yeah.
Sorry, man. You know,
Patrick gets to make the Cheers Cast joke like every week, and I make Belky Cast once.
That's an evergreen.
It's a low-hanging fruit, that one.
Yeah, I mean, you talk about making obscure 80s television references. You think you're going to beat me to those? How long have we known each other? Facts of Life.
That's an obscure TV show?
Well, I don't know what the Bajorans would say about that, Chris, but...
That was in the 90s.
I'll just leave you with that. Who had the Bajoran trivia correct in that Star Trek moment?
So,
you did.
Was it Cameron, Patrick?
Cameron had it.
Okay.
So the next scene,
they have three bumps on their nose.
We're in the apartment.
The Bajorans were the worst, honestly. Oh, you're occupied by the Cardassians or something again forever.
Cardassians?
Or what was it? It was the Ferengi, right? It was the Ferengi.
No, it was the Kardashians. I'm thinking of Keeping Up with the Kardashians.
The worst part about that is that I said Kardashian in that joke, in that moment, and then Patrick stole it from me. Where's my wallet, Patrick? In your back pocket? Where I keep my jokes? Wait, why am I keeping them in your back pocket?
I don't know.
What was the deal with those memory space slugs?
Space slugs?
Yeah, on Deep Space Nine, the people that had the symbionts.
Oh, like the Daxes.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
They were a symbiotic relationship. They lived for a long time. And that young woman was friends with the old dude,
yeah.
The older symbiote.
Yeah. Space Mall. My friend today was telling me that I should watch the first or the last three episodes or seasons of Deep Space Nine, that it gets good when Worf goes on, but I don't think I'm making any time for Deep Space Nine.
No. I mean, I'm sure we've talked about this on the show before, but Deep Space Nine, if it's not my least favorite Star Trek, it's down there. And yet lots of people love it.
It's definitely not my least favorite.
Popular guest star Justin Armstrong puts it at the top of the heap.
Yeah,
I don't know. Patrick loves it, too.
It's no Next Generation.
Does it get better when Worf Grimm's there?
No. Oh, well, I mean, it's okay. They have a ship in those ones.
Okay, instead that of doesn't count. Just having that stupid little...
Right?
But there's the Delta Quadrant, you know? They got that wormhole. That's the whole thing. But those first few seasons, they're just on this space station waiting for stuff to happen.
Yeah, okay. You know what? It's Star Trek.
Yeah.
It's a Star Trek, not for the aliens. You go and find them. You don't wait for them to come to you. Okay? It's like Star Trek in a mall.
Yeah. I just said that.
Good. It's Cheers in space.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, I just had this idea for a hilarious joke. It's called Cheers Cast.
So, in the next scene, we're in Jerry's apartment.
You know what? We're going to do Cheers Cast, and then all of a sudden, there's going to be a ripoff of Frasier Podcast.
George is freaked out.
And they'll get freaking the dog to retweet their tweets.
What's a treat?
Tweet. Twitter. It's a Twitter. Curbcast sucks.
He wants.
Are you using Fitbit now, city. Patrick?
George wants to leave the city. And he's all freaked out. Jerry's upset about this whole disaster. Kramer went and comforted her. He's going out on a date with her.
Gelky.
Yeah.
But, you know, Kramer's very upset. He actually believes that Jerry did this.
Yeah.
Now, this is common for Kramer.
Mm-hmm.
It's also common for Kramer to go on the date with the attractive woman.
Absolutely. He has the Kavorka.
The Kavorka.
And so...
Latvian Orthodox.
Yeah, the next scene, we see Becky's apartment. Kramer's in his Sunday best.
Hair completely slicked back.
Yeah, he's got a lot of whatever that stuff is called.
Brill cream.
You know, just a little dab will do you. But, you know, she's watching Entertainment Tonight as this happens. She opens the door. He has a seizure. Seems like the date's off.
Easy, Debbie.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, that's kind of it. There's the monologue.
You know what doesn't happen? Nothing happens with George and the husband.
Well, George flees the city.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that's it. He does okay in this episode.
He gets away with it.
He sleeps with a married woman and he runs away. Mm-hmm. Not bad for George.
Well, he can stay out of the city as long as he wants. He doesn't have a job.
That is true.
Yeah.
Convenient.
And so the final monologue, men are paralyzed by beautiful women. So if you see an ad and there's a beautiful woman, you're convinced that that product will somehow involve you with that beautiful woman.
The only thing I extrapolate from this outro here is that Jerry understands how marketing works.
Mm-hmm. Yes, indeed.
But I mean, I would like a ratchet scent.
Mm-hmm. Who wouldn't?
You know, even though I don't think I could build a shelf, ideally I would like to have as many power tools as I could possibly own.
You want a table saw?
Table saw, belt sander.
Router?
Router? I've got one of those. It's wireless.
Wood planer?
Planer? Maybe a bevel?
Drill press?
Drill press would be nice too.
A lathe?
Yeah, actually.
Spin some legs?
I was going to say, you could make some really ornate legs from a table or chairs.
Jigsaw?
Jigsaw's good.
Bandsaw?
Bandsaw. Love a bandsaw.
Mm-hmm. Wood steamer? Bending some wood?
I guess so.
Sounds pretty good.
Can make all
what
sorts
about
of
a
things.
Lift for your car?
An electric hammer.
Oh, electric hammer. Electric scissors?
Electric scissors. I almost won that bid. I was so close.
AbleAuctions.com.
.ca. AbleAuctions.ca. This week's episode
.ca.
Is brought to you by the fine people at AbleAuctions.ca. Bid on hundreds, thousands of items from the comfort of your own home.
Ranging from garbage to other garbage.
So, Chris, you're a once Vancouverite. You're an ex-Vancouverite.
Duh.
I'm sorry, it hurts. But did you ever bid on anything from Able Auctions? For full disclosure, this episode is not sponsored or brought to you in any way from ableauctions.ca.
No.
Well, years ago, Chris, I bid on two lots. One was for, like, 125 stupid little computers, and the other one was for, like, 100 or 200 electric scissors. I won the computer bid for, I think it was, like, $20-something, lost my bid on the electric scissors by $5, which I believe went for $10.
Oh.
Do you want 100 pairs of electric scissors, Chris?
Could you imagine that? 100 pairs of electric scissors? Think of all the coupons I could cut out with that.
Think of all the years of gifts.
Or coupons.
I think that would be great to give someone a pair of electric scissors for their birthday every year. If you have them.
Well, and a small computer. Chris, what did you think of this episode as a whole?
That was really good. I like this episode a lot. I liked seeing everybody lying a lot. I liked all the twists and turns it took. I liked Helen Slater guest starring. I liked that George had an affair with an attractive woman and more or less got away with it. I think the only thing I wish Jerry got was Supergirl. That would have made this a pretty great episode.
Didn't happen in the end, though.
No.
Patrick, what'd you think?
Do you think Kramer got with her? Do you think after she turned off Mary Hart, he's like, let's do it.
I think it might have been...
I think the,
what is that?
I think,
is that like Elvis hitting...
he's shaking it off, you know? He's shaking off the Mary Hart.
Oh, baby. That was quite a thing.
So,
go ahead, Patrick, do it. We all know what you want to do.
I think the implication is...
No, Patrick, just do what you want to do.
What do I want to do?
Big bopper.
No, I save it.
Hello, baby.
Why did I do the big bopper? It's hard to say.
Who's the big bopper?
The big bopper, Tony.
His name's Ralph.
So, I think the implication is that they did not really have a date because of the seizure.
I mean, it was an intense looking seizure.
Yeah.
It was a full seizure.
It's a real turn-off, a seizure.
The problem is, how is she going to know to turn off Mary Hart?
She's not.
She's probably calling the cops while Mary Hart's still gabbing away.
They're going to go to a story pretty quick, you know?
That's true. And he'll be like, wow.
And as he gets up and gets his bearings, the short segment will end. Mary Hart will be back on.
Could have done a whole episode about this.
And then she calls the cops and she's like, I just saw this guy take a huge swig out of his bottle of wine. He got into his car. He hit a kid. Who are you to question me?
How's the kid? Well,
it's kind of an ugly kid.
That makes it okay.
Patrick, your thoughts on this episode?
I think it was good. I think all of the characters got a pretty interesting part in the story. I don't think anyone was just kind of tacked in there. I like how there have been a few episodes where the other characters have been involved in some kind of cockamamie scheme and it's been blowing up in their faces. And Jerry's just kind of above it all, just kind of laughing at them. Here we see Jerry's no better than anyone else, you know, so it's good.
He's down in the dirt.
Yeah. What do you think, Cameron?
Pretty good episode, I would say. It's funny, it's a little strange, but it's funny. I wish that the show was a little bit more... Or this episode was maybe a little bit more fleshed out to see more of George and the angry husband. Yeah, I don't know. Like, it's strange. The episode actually almost feels too short to me in some ways. Like, there's so much more material there that they could have shown. You don't see much of Jerry and the two women. Kramer's seizure thing is just some weird thing for him to have going on. But overall, pretty good episode. I enjoyed it quite a bit. And kudos, of course, to Jason Alexander, the director of this episode.
You just really wanted to see George get his ass sewn to his face, right?
That would have been very exciting.
Yeah.
Gentlemen, are you prepared for other business?
I rarely am, so let's take a look.
All right. Well, Chris, I think you'll be interested in this week's other business, and I think everyone else will be too. So head on over to whatsthedealshow.com, where you can check out today's show notes,
episodes, awesome. Back episodes,
and, of course, today's other business. And in today's other business, Simpsons theme park to feature life-size Springfield. For every Simpson fan who's ever dreamt of tasting a Lard Lad donut, chugging a pint of Duff, or sitting down to a family meal at Krusty Burger, comes a vacation destination most prominent, Springfield. So Universal will be building a brand new Simpsons theme park. It's under construction. It's in Orlando. And, you know, you can meet up with Sideshow Bob, the Bumblebee Man, all those famous Simpsons characters. They're going to have all the different restaurants. You can go to the Quickie Mart. It's going to be very exciting. Chris, would you take
awesome.
A trip?
Awesome. Absolutely. I'd go tomorrow.
So what's the main draw for you there?
Simpsons.
Bort license plates, right?
That's right. My son is also named Bort.
Do you think they'll have mechanical itchy and scratchy?
Oh, that'd be great. I think it sounds like an amazing idea.
Everything about this is great. Let's see, what else are they going to have here?
Like, could you imagine going into that resort and going into Moe's and you can have Duff at the bar in, like, a Moe's replica?
Yeah,
that
amazing.
Would be pretty exciting.
Get a squishy from the Quickie Mart.
Squishy. Go to the comic book place.
Krusty Burger.
What is that place called? The Comics Dungeon?
Oh, Android's Dungeon.
Android's Dungeon.
Yeah. I love it.
I don't know. It really depends on the execution. I could imagine it being very, disappointing.
How so?
I don't know. Like, if everything just...
You're worried it's going to be all King of the Hill stuff, huh?
Yeah. And Beavis and Butthead stuff. Just generally a Mike Judge theme park. Because they forgot all the Simpsons.
Because they forgot what they were doing.
Yeah, or maybe it's all, like, I basically stopped watching The Simpsons in, like, season 9, maybe, and what are they, like, season 20 now?
Season 42.
Yeah, so, like, I'm not gonna know a lot of stuff that's happened in the last few seasons.
See, at least I don't think so.
Still a vegetarian. So. I don't know.
I don't think so. I think they acknowledge that no one watched it, or that no one cares. People still watch it, because it's still on, but I think it'll be all classic Simpsons jokes. And references. I'm convinced.
He has faith.
So you're going to go down to Orlando to see this?
Hell yeah.
So I thought we'd all be on board. So I've got a series of questions to follow.
Okay.
Yeah.
Question number one. Would you go to a Seinfeld theme park?
Yes. Well.
Okay, it's a Seinfeld themed hotel in Las Vegas.
Yeah, I'd go, for
sure.
So
your room is like Jerry's apartment?
Yeah, go down to the bunks. I want to go.
Yeah?
Totally.
You know what? So would I.
Yeah.
Could you imagine? I would love to do that, actually. Like, if
go to lunch. Sort of... go to lunch at Mindy's? Get the soup?
Oh, I love Mindy's.
A soup's not a meal, Chris.
I would still get it.
He's just going for a snack.
Yeah.
But could you imagine that, staying in, like, a replica of the Seinfeld suite? I think that'd be pretty fun.
Are you just imagining this, or is this a thing? I mean, don't tease this sort of thing.
I think he's just imagining it.
I'm imagining it.
Oh, okay.
I mean, the suite would be awkward with that giant space where the audience is, and there's no wall, and all the people are watching you, but...
That's called the fourth wall.
That's cute. You're a funny guy, Patrick.
Well, thank you. So what other questions you got about this?
Well, here's the next one. Aside from the two options we've had, your ideal choice of a themed resort or amusement park,
Jurassic what would Park. It be?
Jurassic Ooh, Park. That's a good one. Wow, that would be so good.
So it's just literally Jurassic Park.
Just Jurassic Park.
Except for everything works.
Even if it doesn't, you know.
So you might die.
Sure, yeah. Part of the
it's
fun.
A 3D interface.
Yeah.
It's got a
if
CD
the dinosaurs off. Get out and you're like, oh my god, I gotta run from some dinosaurs. If I die from dinosaurs, I would go knowing that the fences might fail. You know?
What
the
if
idea
they started
of
reading?
That's how I died from T-Rex. I mean, everyone makes fun of Gennaro, the lawyer in that movie, but that guy died by T-Rex. That's amazing.
I'd rather get on that boat, you know, before the storm. That'd be pretty good.
What about the helicopter?
That'd be okay, but then you would have almost died a lot of times. I'd rather not almost die.
It is true. Those guys in the boat don't know what they just missed.
Yeah, they just, you know, they had to be on that boat. Maybe they got a little seasickness, but they get off. You know, they go to a Takera or something. They get a Huaracha.
It's funny. I'm so invested in the rest of that movie that I've never thought about it. Those guys on the boat, they just miss the whole thing. They just leave.
Yeah.
They just leave, and then they find out, you know, Monday morning, oh, park's canceled, you know.
I mean, I guess they're also thinking we're alive. Maybe.
They have some Blanco y Negro. That'd be delicious. It's white rice with black beans.
We got dots in here.
They probably either got some good severance packages or they got hired on at other engine, you know, genetics jobs.
Yeah.
They were just fired.
On the mainland.
Yeah.
Is InGen short for ingenuity? I've never thought of that until
right
this moment.
I think it's something genetics. So integrated genetics.
Ingenuity genetics. Genetic ingenuity.
Internet genetics.
How about you, Patrick? I'm assuming Dragon Ball Z land.
I was thinking Pokeland.
Oh.
Actually, Pokemon Land, if you could actually have a Poke battle, that'd be pretty sweet. I never even really watched Pokemon. I played the Game Boy game.
But I mean, the problem is, I don't know if you've ever seen these pictures. I'm going to show this to you. I'll put it in the show notes.
Is there actually a Pokeland?
No, but, well, maybe there is, but this, like, these people's things of what a real-life Pikachu would look like. Maybe.
Look like a kitty.
Maybe I wouldn't want to go.
Look at these. They look great. Look at them. I love them. You don't want that?
But, I mean, look at Epona here. She's on fire.
Okay, but that's why I would have Pikachu. I would choose
Pikachu. Or, like, this
Pikachu.
Animal that wears a skull on its head?
I don't know. It's like going, like, you're choosing to go to, like, a cockfighting resort, watching animals.
No, they're okay. They just go back in their Pokeball when they're tired.
They faint.
Yeah.
I read a comic a while ago where, you know, in the Pokemon game where you take the Pokemon to the Poke Center and they're like, oh, here, we'll heal them back up. And they put them in a little bed and you get that dun, 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 dun. And they all have full health. In the comic, they showed that when the little balls are rocking in the thing, that they just drop out and go into an incinerator and then they just put fresh ones in. I feel like that's what you're doing.
So what theme park would you go to, Cameron?
So I'm looking to see if Pokemon theme park is a real place first. Seems to be real. So your dream has come true already.
All right, I'll do it.
Is Jurassic Park real?
Can you have a Poke battle there?
I'm sure they have some sort of Poke battle you can do.
Can I have Squirtle?
And
or Charizard?
Yeah, you can have all of them. Why would someone draw this picture of Pikachu feeding her young?
I don't know. It's horrifying.
Mini Pikachu's Peeps. Suckling at her nipples.
I don't know. It's awful.
It's very strange.
So what?
We'll put it in the show notes.
What theme park would you go to, Cameron?
Well, the Star Trek Resort in Las Vegas already exists.
So oh yeah, let's go to that. That.
I mean,
yeah, what do you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, let's do it.
So I was actually thinking what I would love to do. Back to the Future, Hill Valley.
Yeah.
For me, that would be pretty sweet. And what it is it's a three-parter.
Ooh.
So you got Classic Hill Valley, you got Future Hill Valley, and you have your
Western
Wild West
Hill Valley.
What about
Valley?
Alternate 1985 Hill Valley? With, like, Biffland.
Oh, yeah.
Casino and stuff.
Well, sure, let's have Biffland, too.
So it'd have to be a four-part.
I mean, it is a horrifying place to go, but sure, why not
Biffland?
You
gotta have the whole thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, that'd be pretty sweet.
But I'd love a Back to the Future land.
Yeah.
But I'm a big fan of those movies.
I feel like regular 1985 Hell Valley, not that exciting. You could go to Doc's Lab, I guess. That'd be something.
Doc's Lab's good. You know, Flying DeLorean.
I gotta say, I'm just extremely happy, you know, knock on wood, that I have not heard any grumblings about Back to the Future reboots. You know, of all of the properties that seem to be getting rehashed these days, I feel like that one so far it seemed untouchable.
Well, Chris, I've got some bad news for you.
No.
Oh, and I wanted to make the joke and it already is there. I was going to say Zac Efron, and look who's like right up in these pictures. It's Zac Efron.
What are you talking about?
Back to the Future reboot.
Why?
Yeah, Tim Burton.
Tim Burton reveals Back to the Future reboot plans.
Shut up. Where are you seeing this? Oh my god. Where? Oh no. That's like May 11th of... That's like a year ago.
I mean, I'm hoping this isn't real.
Yeah, it doesn't seem super.
Well, here's
like it. The this isn't even like a story.
Here's one
like
the daily. Oh no, it's just a cute title.
Yeah.
Top 10 inevitable movie reboots, right on there on Screen Rant. Oh, awful! I'm glad this is an April Fool's joke. Zac Efron starring Back to the Future reboot.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I don't know. Back to the Future theme park seems pretty good.
I'd like it. The problem, of course, is that, I mean, realistically, let me put it to you this way. If that can't happen, and probably even more so than that, but I just really like the idea of walking around Hill Valley. Let's face it, I want Star Wars.
Yeah.
I want to be in sections of this place that are like the inside of the Death Star.
What
I
if
want to go
could,
to the cantina.
What if you could go on a Star Tour?
I went on Star Tours. It's amazing. You ever go on Star Tours, Chris?
No. That's Disneyland, right?
Yeah, it's good.
Yeah, I know.
So anyhow, I guess we should get to the meat of this. Chris, rank the Star Treks from best to worst.
Like the universes or the movies or what? Or the shows?
We're talking shows.
Oh, we've done this a million times.
Not on this show.
Not on this show. That's true. Okay, Next Generation, original series, Deep Space Nine, Enterprise, Voyager.
Hmm. Patrick?
Pretty close. Next Generation, original series, animated series, Deep Space Nine, Voyager, Enterprise.
Now, did Chris had the last two flipped? Was the only difference? Yeah.
Well, he didn't have animated series in there.
Well, I'm not going to include animated series. Well, I am. So I will go Next Generation, original series, and then going way off the charts here, I'm going to go
way off the charts.
I'm going to go Enterprise. Deep Space Nine, Voyager.
Yeah, I'm fine with that. Honestly, Enterprise and Deep Space Nine are pretty much on par for me.
I think everyone kind of hates on Enterprise because it has that terrible theme song.
But everyone also seems to agree, although I can't account for this, that the last last two seasons of Enterprise were actually quite good.
Yeah, that's the thing. They were. I thought they were pretty good.
Yeah.
I don't remember how that Enterprise theme song went, but I remember it was bad. Like,
oh, it was horrible.
We're going into space now.
So nostalgic. Look at these flashbacks of Neil Armstrong and stuff.
And now we're in space.
Now we're in space.
Good identity.
And whatever happened to, Scott Baio?
Scott Bakula.
Oh, right. I'm thinking of...
Charles in Charge.
I'm thinking of Chachi.
Charles in Charge of the Enterprise.
He's going to be on the reboot of Quantum Leap.
Is there a reboot of Quantum Leap happening?
I don't know. Probably.
Oh, that would be cool. Point.
Quantum Leap theme park.
I can't wait for Quantum Leap to fail again.
Do you think the Simpsons theme park is actually going to be good?
Like, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah? You think it'll be good?
They're building it as part of the Universal theme park. Isn't that what they were saying?
Yeah. I bet it'll be good.
I feel like I'm never going to go to it, though. I feel like I would not like going to a theme park. I don't like waiting in lines.
But, I mean, if you were already in...
In Orlando?
Yeah.
When am I going to be in Orlando?
I don't know. You're at some stupid supercomputing conference.
See,
they're always on the West Coast.
For me, the only real barrier would be that I don't know if I'll ever be in Orlando. Let me put it this way. I don't think I'll ever be in Orlando, but if I am ever in Orlando, I can almost guarantee I will go to this.
Yeah.
So it is part of Universal's thing, but I'm just saying, if you were there, like, you know what, I was... Because when I went to Disneyland, I went to Universal Studios. It was pretty cool.
Yeah.
Saw the old Jaws tank.
Is that still there?
Yeah.
Is the King Kong one still there?
I think so. And so is the Bates Motel.
Ooh, Bates Motel. That'd be cool.
Yeah.
How was that a ride?
They take you on a backlot tour. So famous backlot things that they've never taken down are on there.
Oh.
It's pretty great, really.
Cool.
Yeah, it was great. Man. You know what? That was a pretty, timely episode that we've just recorded.
We haven't had time to rank our favorite Star Treks.
I don't know. Do you think there'll be much disagreement? Because, I mean,
I'm sure
the Deep Space Nine defenders are going to be it was the best
one. Some people who really like Voyager, too. Captain Janeway.
No, they're right.
Nice voice. Were you doing her voice or the person who likes Voyager's voice?
I got us lost, guys. We're all lost forever. Can I still be captain? Oh, yeah, I guess so.
I don't think it was really her fault.
Totally.
It was the Maquis.
I mean, and you know what? My problem isn't even with Janeway as a captain. It's just that, as a show, it was horrid. It was just terrible to watch.
Horrible, yeah.
What about that girl who ages way faster than everyone else? She's a character. What about how they're always scrounging for food because the replicators don't work for some reason?
All right, let's button this up.
No, Chris. We're not going to stop the show.
Okay.
Not until we plug people to go to whatsthedealshow.com, where you can check out today's show notes, today's episode, which you're already listening to, or maybe you turned off about 40 minutes ago.
When we started talking about Star Trek, I feel like people are tuning out.
Not the real fans.
Check out Chris's picture for this week. Good picture. I'd say it's in his top 36 pictures he's done for the show.
It's probably the most unsettling one.
You can also check out all of our back episodes. It's all there. Head on over, check it out, and while you're at it, use this Sochi Meads, as Patrick calls it. Tell us a little bit about it.
I call them Someads. Or Somds for short, if I don't have time to say Someads. But yeah, you can check us out on Twitter. We're at twitter.com/WTDshow. You can tweet us, you can follow us, you can see all the episodes there. You can see when Felix tweets us. You can see when Mike CPL tweets us. You can see when my mom puts some cryptic tweets.
Cryptex.
Robert Langdon-esque tweets.
You know, I haven't heard from Felix or Mike Seeps in almost a whole week.
Well, we didn't do an episode last week, so that would explain it.
Do you think they're okay? Do you think they're mad at us?
Oh, they're probably mad.
Great.
They probably didn't even notice. I probably none of the listeners did. The other 100 or so.
100,000? Is that what you said?
100,000 listeners. We're going to be acquired by Yahoo next year.
$5.
If you like Facebook rather than Twitter, you can follow us and see mixed amongst, you know, racist tweets from your uncle or something. You can see our episodes once a week. We'll show up if you like us on Facebook. You can also put messages there and say that we didn't post an episode this week, and where is it?
Facebook sticker?
Facebook stickers. I think you can do that.
Send us a message. We'll talk about you. Yeah. Unless you don't want to. If you don't want to be talked about...
I mean, it's reasonable. I'm sure the people who have tweeted us or Facebook messages are now regretting it. My old high school friend, David Ellison, I think he put something on our Facebook page.
He did, and he knew my friend.
Oh,
did
yeah.
Did you see that?
Yeah. So, we'll talk about you. Just say something. We'll talk about you. Maybe you'll be embarrassed. Maybe we'll mispronounce your name.
I mean, if you don't want to be talked about, you better include that on the message, because otherwise we'll be talking about you.
Yeah. And so few people, you know, reach out because of this reason, you know. You gotta be careful.
You really do.
But yeah, that's it. That's the social medias.
Chris Young, is there anything else that we can do?
Yeah. You can go to iTunes. iTunes has a whole rating system. And what's nice is that you could actually be part of What's the Deal. And you can rate which Star Trek is the best Star Trek. And then we know what you're going to say.
1 out of 5 Enterprises.
That's right. Now, as usual, there's minimum standards here. Next Generation and Original Series, minimum standard, 5 stars. Voyager, maximum standard, 0 stars. You haven't got a lot of options, I'm not going to lie.
Bonus Warp 5 on iTunes.
Yeah. You can also rate our show.
One out of 5 warp cores.
Yeah.
Talk about dilithium crystals.
Nuclear vessels.
Star Trek 4, that one in San Francisco.
Did you guys know, trivia time, did you guys know that Star Trek 4, so there's the character of the doctor that Kirk bangs.
Star Trek 4, Turtles in Time.
that character was originally going to be 2 characters. There was going to be the hot love interest. Well, hot's a strong word for that. But there was going to be the love interest for Kirk. And there was going to be another doctor. And that doctor was going to be Eddie Murphy. It was written for Eddie Murphy, but he had to drop out. That would have been great. Eddie Murphy? Like prime 80s era Eddie Murphy in Star Trek? In San Francisco? There be whales, Captain.
I mean, I know people hate on that movie, and I love that movie. And
love Star Trek 4.
I cannot imagine just how much more bizarre that movie would have been if Eddie Murphy was in it.
No kidding. Starting Four is great.
Can you imagine Eddie Murphy doing his Eddie Murphy laugh in a Star Trek movie? That would be so weird.
Great.
I can't actually imagine it because it seems almost insane.
Yeah.
Eddie Murphy in a Star Trek movie?
Yeah, the part was written for him. And then he gets to back out,
he could still be in a Star Trek movie, the next Star Trek movie.
Yeah.
Well, he did a lot of LDS back in the 60s.
Double dumbass on you, too.
I'm Spock and I broke your boombox.
Did he break the boombox? I thought he broke.
No, he just Vulcan nerf pinched him.
Yeah.
Oh.
And then everyone on the bus cheers as this man assaults somebody on the bus. His music was too loud. Well, he had it coming.
He's a punk.
That is true.
Get a mohawk, Cameron, all right? This is San Francisco. They don't stand for those sort of things.
Very conservative.
Yeah.
He's probably a zip head anyways.
Yeah.
A spliff.
All right.
A beatnik. A hippie.
Mission Street Muni Station.
A yuppie. A nuclear vessel.
They don't like it when you say Frisco.
Okay. Next week's episode we'll be looking at is, I believe, as I type it into my computer, because as always I've not prepared, is The Letter. Does that sound right to you guys? The Letter?
I don't know.
I feel like it's The Letter. If it is The Letter, let me tell you about it. The Letter. In next week's episode, the 38th episode of the sitcom Seinfeld, Kramer poses for a portrait, creating the famous dorm room posters for everyone out there. Catherine Keener is Jerry's girlfriend, and Jerry eventually breaks up with her, but receives a heart-wrenching letter from her, which he finds out eventually is plagiarized. Meanwhile, Elaine creates a problem after going to the Yankees game and wearing an Orioles baseball cap.
Catherine Keener's really in that one?
Yeah, she's Jerry's girlfriend.
Oh, that's awesome. I love Catherine Keener.
So how is this the 38th episode and we're doing episode 36? Did I say the wrong thing at the beginning of the episode? Have we skipped episodes?
Maybe there's a... The pilot is counted differently. There was a double episode, right?
Could be. Doesn't matter. The point is, thanks for listening.
You're the best.
All of you. Even Chris.
Yeah, I know.
As always, we would like to impart upon you a hearty thank you from Chris Young.
See ya.
Patrick Armstrong.
Mm-hmm.
And myself, Cameron Wong. Thank you very much, and we will be with you again next week.
Maybe.
Do you like the dramatic pause I put in this week?
Mm-hmm.
It was maybe.
Well, we didn't have an episode this week.